I'd like to share out of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. So this verse has been special to me, although it doesn't seem like there's much special in it. Because it says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." That's a little bit of what we're talking about right now. We have to rein in our thinking so it doesn't become the thinking of the world. Because we're so surrounded by it that before you know it, you think like the world. So you have to rein it in. Loins of your mind. Be sober. And hope to the end. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Some people don't have much of a fight over their salvation. But off and on throughout my life, I've had a lot of it. For some reason, the Lord has allowed a battle in my heart and mind. So I've had to gird up the loins of my mind. I've had to take hold of the apparatus of thinking that's within me. Both the higher and the lower minds, because the lower mind is the brain. And it thinks and does whatever it needs to do. And then there's our inner mind, our heart's mind, that thinks also. Our heart has a mind of its own too. I had to rein in some of those things. And bring them into subjection. Not to enjoy necessarily the grace right now. But the part that was special to me personally about this verse is that I have to lay hold of my mind and force it to hope. Hope means I don't have it yet. I don't feel it yet. I don't have that security I'd like to feel. I don't have that sense of total, absolute yes, 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 like some Baptists or other people may have. I haven't been allowed to have that. So I have to rein in my thoughts. Refuse to live by feeling. And lay hold of that hope. Now listen to this. So many of us fear the judgment that's waiting for us someday, as I have. And, you know, so many of us that don't live exemplary lives as perfectly as can be lived wonder about the future, you know, how this is all going to end. But I've had to rein in my mind to hope in the grace that will be revealed to me, that will be given to me at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So for now, it's a hope. But I do have this hope that when the day of the revelation of the Lord, the day that the Lord is revealed on earth, the day that comes, that great day of the Lord, that I will find grace. That is a magnificent thing. You have to rein your mind in. Because if you just let the enemy have it, or the world have it, or yourself have it, you're not going to think that way. You're not going to have that hope. You're going to have a fearful trembling of what might happen when it's all done. So that is one thing I've found. But let me tell you, who are the ones that have and are given this hope? Because there's stages of development here, which I saw. The first stage being that you have to get a hold of your mind, okay? You have to force it to think like God thinks. The second is you've got to come into that soberness. At some point, you have to have a fight in your life as to whether you're really saved or not, whether it's all true or isn't, whether it's going to happen or has happened or will happen, and whether you are really God's or whether you're not. If you don't have that battle, then you'll never be brought into that stage of soberness. You know, that battle is what brings you into soberness. Soberness is something necessary in order to come to the third stage, which is to have the hope that grace will be given at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is why this verse is special to me. Because I have known that stage of having to rein in my mind with the attacks of the enemy continuously on me. I've discovered the stage of soberness, which makes me walk real softly and in fear and in trembling. And there's a soberness. There's no gleeful happiness. There's just sober. And then comes the last stage, where I've been given that hope that doesn't give away. Even sometimes it seems like hope is gone, but I've been able to learn something. You can hope against hope. Abraham hoped even when there was no hope. When the circumstances denied the reality of it, he still believed God. So when it comes down to it, God develops us. First the battle is in the mind, then the battle comes into that emotional part where it sobers you. It's that heaviness of life. It's not just all happiness, happiness, happiness. Everything's cool. You see, a lot of people that know that they're saved, they never come into the sober stage. They never had to rein in their mind. They just know that they know. There's no battle there. But those who God wants to develop have to go through these stages of development. They have to have the wrestling of the mind till they rein in their mind. Then they have to go through that part that sobers you and you walk. Not necessarily in depression, but you could have those too during the sober stage. You think, why do these people that seem to show the most fruit of God in their life are the ones that seem to have the biggest fight in their life over something as simple as their own salvation? Well, I'll tell you why. Because God's developing them. And toward the end, God takes you to the stage where you have to hope when all circumstances deny. The hope that grace will be given at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When you are reduced down to Jesus Christ, when all the circumstances are out, when the storm, you can't see it any longer, when everything is gone and you're reduced down to just you and Christ, a hope is born when you hang on to Him. A hope is born that you don't ever have salvation. You just discovered a Savior. You just took the hand of a person who is your Savior. Now I want to back up a little bit. I've told you why it was special to me. Now let me tell you why it was special to Peter, because I didn't write this, Peter did. And Peter, unwittingly, he may not have had it in mind when he wrote that. He wrote it out of experience, out of inner knowledge, and out of personal knowledge. But he may have been unaware that he unwittingly was revealing his own counsel to all of us through his own experience. You might say, well, where did that happen? Well, let's take the first stage that he talks about. We said there were three. In the first stage, where he talks about the girding, is what Christ called the self-confidence of youth. In Matthew 14, you will remember, Jesus finished ministering to the multitudes. They were by the seashore, by Galilee. It's a huge lake that they call the sea, because it was so big. And he said to them, when everything was calm, I want you to get in the boat and I want you to go to the other side. And I'll dismiss the people and I need to go up to the mountain and I need some time alone with God. Well, this was the first stage of self-confidence of youth. This guy was a fisherman. What's the problem? Getting in a boat, the waters were calm. They all got in the boat, everything was cool. Self-confidently, they sailed out. Yes, we can do this. That's stage one. Gird up, this is something I can do. God's not asking us to let Him do it. He's just saying, I want you to rein in your mind. That's something I can do. Yeah, that's something I can do. But the sober stage is one that I'm not sure about. Okay, so when the world was calm around him, when there's no wind, when the waves were calm, when the sea was crystal, when the boat was sure, when it was something that they were used to and they weren't sailing out of the box and they weren't out of their comfort zone. Everything was cool. Everything was good. This is the first stage of God working with all of us. He doesn't demand that we get out of our comfort zone. He doesn't demand that we reign in our mind. Everything's cool. But then a problem happened. Jesus was up there praying. All is cool. You know, it says that He's at the right hand of the Father praying and interceding for all of us. Yeah, but meanwhile down here, we're experiencing a storm. Because until He went up and prayed, the waters were calm. But when He went up and prayed, something happened. The waters became violent. The wind was boisterous. Their boat was rocking and rolling, and it didn't look like it was going to rock all that well and roll all the way. And about the time they were experiencing fear for their lives, things got worse. While the realm was calm, they were in stage one. But then Peter went into stage two when things got really busy out there. When the waters got boisterous, then he went into the sober stage. You see, there are things in our life that God sends as storms that sober us a little bit in life. You're not just having a party out there with everything, you know. Everything's cool. But about the time they thought things couldn't get worse, a ghost shows up on the waters. And it's not like you think. The ghost was there and the ghost disappeared. The illuminated ghost was suddenly there and then disappeared. It was out in the distance. They didn't know what was going on. It was just light that flickered and light went off. And the light kept getting brighter and closer and bigger. And then disappear and then appear. And then a portion of the light would appear and stay and the other portion would disappear. Well, it's simple. Figure it out. Jesus was 6 foot tall. So were the waves. When the waves went up and rolled, he disappeared. When the roll disappeared and waited for another one to come in, they got full sight. As he got closer, he could be seen above the waves. They didn't know who it was. But boy, you talk about fright. You talk about sobering. These guys were singing their song. They were happy. He had told them to go to the other side. Certainly he had something special for him. He always did. Some new revelation, some new thing is so good. God is so good. We just started in that stage with God where everything is beautiful. Then comes the storm. Then comes stage two, the sobering part of life. It lasts a pretty long time, too. Suddenly he had to say, "Peace, be still, it's me." So here's where we first encounter what Peter learned through this verse. He learned all about be sober. How can you be sober? Let me put it in my terms. I think we get sober through the things that happen in our life. Do you know that it's at this stage when everything is wrong where God puts the greatest demand for us to walk by faith? Peter says to the Lord, "Lord, in this stage of soberness, you frightened us to death." Peter and the disciples weren't the only ones navigating in the storm and living the experience of these violent waves and hurricane at sea. Do you know who else was? Jesus. He didn't come floating on a cloud saying, "Oh, you guys down there, be sober." We are already. This is sobering. Not a game. It's not funny. If you think this trial is funny, it's not. No, he didn't show up on a cloud. Do you know where he showed up? Walking on top of the same circumstances they were fearing and drowning under. He is our example. He was saying to them, "This is how it's going to end up. This is why I'm bringing you into sobering circumstances so that you can be like me. So that you can walk on top of your storms and learn to conquer the unconquerable. So that you can learn to have victory in adversity. Not victory when everything's calm, but victory in adversity. Oh, did Peter learn this stage of soberness? Oh, yeah. So he says, okay, if we're meant to have victory in adversity, then call to me and let me walk on it. If you want us to be like you, then hey, let's have at it. So he takes his first launchy step. Any of us remember what happened? He began to walk on the water just like Jesus. It's like, wow, I don't need for you to take away my storm. I can walk above it. Life isn't that sobering after all. There's hope here. I can walk on the water. Yay, I can do it. Then he got his eyes and focus off the only one that was making him walk on water. And Peter had to learn something that day. You can only walk on water when your focus is on Jesus. The only way we can make it through life, the only way we can be victorious, the only way is if you bring Jesus in your circumstances and keep Him in focus. Because the moment you don't, you're going to be aware of the storm. Let me tell you, America's coming into a storm, and the day's coming when it's going to be storm, 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 storm everywhere. Keep your eyes focused. Not on what's happening in America, not on what they say, not on what they're doing. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Look, the moment Peter saw and focused on the boisterous storm, he lost his buoyancy. He lost his victory in adversity. Do you know what else he lost? Stage one, his self-confidence. He realized that in himself he didn't have the power to walk on the laws of life, to walk in the storms of life. He didn't. God will always make the storm bad enough to force you to focus back on Jesus. Seeing himself drowning before the waves swallowed him up, he cried out, "Jesus, save me!" And immediately, I mean, Jesus wasn't standing on a rock, okay, pulling him out of soft water. Jesus was on the same water Peter was sinking in. And he just pulled him right up. His faith over the elements, his faith in God, that he could not die until he went to a cross, kept him on top of that water. His focus on the destiny God had for him. His focus that my life can't be extinguished until God is through with it. And I have a work to do. Regardless of how many attacks on my mind, on my body, on my life, until I finish the work that I've been given, I cannot be taken out. So he walked on the water and he pulls Peter out. And when Peter stood back up on the water, he was in stage two of soberness. But when he stepped on the waters again and was with Jesus and made one with Jesus, he came in to the hope of the grace that would be shown to him. When your life is at its worst, you will find grace of God come to you for that hour. And your children and the children of America and this country and all that is in it. He was reduced to Christ. When he was reduced to Christ, he found victory in adversity. And he pens to us, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind." Don't just always walk in your self-confidence, because the time will come where there'll be sobering things happening in your life. But when those happen, that's not the end of the story. You'll come to stage three, where you'll be able to hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you. When I cried out, the Lord drew me out of a deep pit, put my feet upon a solid rock. In America, we're going to go through a huge storm. This sobering storm that's upon us is going to take us to Christ. And when America cries out to her God in truth, Not just sitting in big churches being entertained. Not just standing on the streets manifesting devils. We will find He was walking in it with us. And the moment He hears that cry, He's going to stand you up into that realm of power and victory over the circumstances that we were afraid of. The same ones. He wasn't on a cloud bringing him up. He was on that same boisterous water. The water didn't change. Would you allow me to add? The boisterousness of the water and stormy wind did not calm down until the sobering process was over and it brought Peter to Christ in truth. When his hope returned, when grace was given, they got in the boat and suddenly there was no need. Once Jesus was in the boat with them, there was no need for the storm. And the Bible says that there was a great calm. Who orchestrates the storm? You see, this verse wasn't just special to me, but I see now why it was special to Peter. Why he would give us advice like this. Because he sees that there's going to be a good portion of our life of youthful happiness and confidence. I can do this. God's with me. Everything's good. Roll away in calm waters. Everything's cool. And then comes the storms of life. Then you start seeing funny things on the water. Then all hope is lost when you're drowning under the water. And you need a Savior in truth. We don't just add Him on top of everything like the cherry on a cake. Now He's the cake. He's my life. He's my food. He's my everything. Without Him, I can do nothing. I've been brought to that sobering place of realizing I need Jesus. Not just for my eternal life up there when I'm old and dying, but for right here, right now. Jesus, I can't walk without You here and now. Not just when the storms arise in our country. Not just when storms arise in my life. I need You. Oh, I need You. Every hour I need You. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. That was the prayer of Jacob when he crossed Jabbok and wrestled with the Lord. Bless me now, my Savior. I call to Thee. I need You. Oh, I need You. Every hour I need You. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I call to You. I'd written down the song, He's All I Need. You see, when we come to the place that Peter was in, when Jesus was all he needed. His all. Not as just something added. His all. Without Him, He was totally gone. We're always asking God to chill the storm. We want calm waters where we can be back in our self-confidence. God doesn't want us back in that stage. That's the stage He allowed us when we were young in our walk with God. But then comes the sobering part. I need You. Oh, I need You. Where you can say that from the depth of your heart, where you're reduced to Christ. It's no longer about serving Him. It's no longer about being some great somebody. It's no longer about what you do or what you are. It's not about you anymore. The tables change. When Peter stepped out of the boat, it was all about Peter. What he could do. He wanted to show off to the whole world. When he was sinking, it was all about Jesus. Listen, the sobering part is going to take you to that place where you're reduced down to just Christ. You and Christ. But better said, Christ and you. From then on, Peter didn't walk other than beside Jesus. He got in the boat, and he was beside Jesus. It's amazing to me how little scriptures that can mean so much to you. If I were to have just read it to you and told you, you know what, this verse is special to me, all of you would have said, huh? What? What could possibly be special to him about this? But when I take you into the history of my life with it, when I take you into Peter, who wrote that for us, into his experience and his life and his background that produced these words for us, now suddenly it may even mean something to you. You see, that's like everything in the Word of God. You have to experience it. You can hear about the cross, but until you experience it, it's not yours. It's not your Christ. It's the Christ of God. Peter was reduced down to Christ. I need you. Oh, I need you. Lower the key a little bit, but you know, we can sing it as just a song. Or the revelation of the Holy Spirit. You see, these words are real to me. And they were real to Peter. Ask him to make them real to you. Search back in the history of your life and recognize the three stages of God developing you. Of God furthering you into the process to bring you to Christ. Because we all think that bringing a person to Christ happens at the beginning. No, they're just introduced to him at the beginning. But coming to him happens much later in life.